Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry, with your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your say. We're calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother 045-714-0550. And otherwise, check us out on Facebook as well. That's BBM 987 FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Okay, we're going to jump straight into it. The number of children receiving child protection services grew by 18,200 in 5 years. They're not very good numbers that we're looking for in this space. The service provider included investigations into notifications, intensive family support services and other actions to ensure child safety, said the AIHW spokesperson, Dr. Idrani Piedris Cardwell, and that's the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. And we've got Dr. Idrani on the line. A very good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you calling from?
Canberra.
All right. Thank you very much.
Canberra.
Yep. Thank you very much. So, look, a very important space, but a space where we don't want numbers to climb. And what you're saying is it's growing. It has grown in the last 5 years and not a good space for our children, yes?
I think it is kind of how you look at it. You know, I mean, some ways you can say when the numbers increase, that means there is more community awareness, or, you know, where when you see things are not working well and there are notifications, so that means people are really taking note of, you know, that children need protection and safety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it depends on how you look at it, of course. Protection of our children.
Yes, that's right. Like the report said, you know, the numbers have increased, but also the population of children also increasing. So that means as a rate for the general population, that remained pretty much stable.
Sure. And what are the numbers in regarding Indigenous children compared to non-Indigenous children? Are they high?
Yes. There was about just over 51,000 Indigenous children who received a child protection service. So that's about 8 times the rate of non-Indigenous children.
And what's that timeline? Is that in the last 5 years?
So it is over the 5 years, yeah. So for non-Indigenous children, the rate remained pretty stable. Mm-hmm. But for Indigenous children, the rate has increased over that time.
Yes. And what are the range of factors that could be contributing to the rising rate of children receiving protection?
So, like I said, you know, I mean, it could be because of improved reporting, notifications. But in our data, we don't actually get the reasons for increase, but we suspect that just, you know, from our knowledge of other collections as well, so we all know that there's the legacy of past policies of forced removal of the Indigenous children and the intergenerational effects of, you know, previous separations from families and cultures that's leading to some of these outcomes. And also, you know, there is a high proportion of Indigenous families might be living in the lower socioeconomic areas, and there's also, in terms of reporting again, you know, there's a perception that because of the cultural differences in child rearing practices, that could lead to more notifications and the actions taken. And so, as I said, you know, when you look at homelessness experience or the children in youth justice system or hospital admissions for injuries and assault, the Indigenous children tend to be overrepresented. So we think that they might be contributing factors.
Sure. Would you know the numbers compared to non-Indigenous children in regard to the carers or the foster care? Have we got First Nation people in that space looking after our Indigenous children?
So we had like 45,000 children admitted out of home care last financial year, and 4,300 children were Indigenous. So that's again nine times the rate for non-Indigenous children. So in terms of carers, 64% of Indigenous children were placed with relatives in or other Indigenous carers, or in some of them are Indigenous residential care. So as per the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child placement principle, so the first preference is really to place Indigenous children with their extended family and kinship networks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And
it's good to know that.
It's good to know, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Well, we, as a lot of our elders, talk of this space as the 21st century stolen generation, but it's about protecting the children. And, I always say nothing beats black on black. So when you've got Indigenous foster care parents working with our First Nation kids, yeah, that is a thumbs up. That's a plus, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Fantastic.
And, and I think the other good news is in a way that although it is a small number, there were like just under 1,000 kids were able to be reunified with their families or their long-term carers.
Yeah, that's good to know. And, of course, when kids when children are placed in care, the end goal is to get them back with their parents, yes?
Yes, that's right. So rather than, leaving them or moving them around different places,
exactly,
it is good for them to have a more stable environment to grow up in.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for the numbers and working in the space. And it's good to have the information and protecting our children out there. And it's a very important space. So I thank you very much, Dr. Indrani, for coming to the program. All the best to you and your team and the work that you're doing in this space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
You too. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Dr. Idrani Perez Cardwell, Australian Institute of Health and Welfare spokesperson. It's very sad, but good. Depending on how you look, the number of children receiving child protection services grew by 18,200 in 5 years. When you say it depends on how you look at it, it's sad that children are being removed. But the other side of the coin is that the children are protected, because where they were was probably not being protected, whether it be what sort of abuse is happening, whether it be, no food in the house. It could be abuse, physical, mentally, emotional, sexual, whatever the case may be. But we need to protect our young ones, and they are our future. So it's and the other question that we need to have at the table, or the statement we need to have at the table, is having our First Nation people who are working in the space of foster care or looking after our children. Like I said, nothing beats black on black. Have your say, your mob, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550 and check out our Facebook page as well. And that's BBM 987 FM. Yeah, this climate that we're in at the moment regarding the coronavirus, look, not good at all. It's about us being safe and being mindful of cleanliness, and keep your hands cleaned, and just keep the house clean, the toilet as well, all that sort of stuff, and keeping yourself clean. And working out and passing that information on to our children as well as our families. 1.5 metres contact with other people's. If you don't need to be out, then don't go out. And best to stay in, how you say, in your own village, in your own suburb, if not your own community. We're going to catch up a yarn with Senator Anita Green and talk about the urgent action to protect remote communities and how vulnerable Indigenous Australians are and what we can do. So looking forward to that conversation. But have your say, you mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number again is 1-800-422-416.
Freedom Road. It's me, Bushaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that chopping number again is 1-800-422-416, the number of your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. We're based here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Text us otherwise, 0457-140-550, or our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. National Talk Black, a voice for our people. Utilise it and have your say and yarn up strong. Now, coronavirus in Australia, the nationwide law that makes toilet paper still so hard to get. Now, for weeks, it's been a near impossible to get toilet paper and more items are disappearing from shelves. Nationwide legal quirks is to blame. Now, supermarkets across Australia have been panicked, run on toilet paper for weeks, and leaving shelves bare and tensions running high. Panic buying of a number of essential items due to the coronavirus crisis continues despite pleas from the government, and the bosses of Woolworths and Coles remain calm, and loo rolls is one of the most in-demand products. The problem isn't that Australia is running out of products, authorities say, it's that supermarkets can't keep up with the unprecedented demand, busier than any other peak time have experienced, according to Woolworths. Now, state government has moved to one of the major barriers that's preventing most shops from getting essential items restocked quicker. And how they're doing that is overnight, Queensland, yeah, passed emergency laws to allow supermarket loading docks to receive items 24 hours a day, along with distribution supply centres. Premier of Queensland, Anastasia Palaszczuk, said that the reforms relax every individual council's planning conditions that impose a curfew on truck deliveries. Ordinarily, the hours that a supermarket can receive stock are limited to reduce noise pollution in residential areas where many shops tend to be located. It's a curfew that virtually every council around the country imposes. So that's one of the reasons why the lineup of all the information for getting toilet paper, but it is not the fact that we are running out of toilet paper, it's the demand of delivering. We have plenty of stock, so we just need to share the workload, so to speak. So if you're going in there with your trolley, don't go grabbing 10 cartons of toilet paper. Grab two, so everybody else can grab their two and do it that way. And then if you come back in a week's time, there's more toilet paper there. You mob may need to settle down. Have your say, yarn up strong here on your daily number, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Have your say. We're going to catch up with yarn now. I believe we've got John on the line. John, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, mate. How are you going?
I'm well, John. John, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from 46 Hayward Street in Cairns.
Oh, you're in Cairns, are you? Yeah. You're not driving, are you?
No, mate, I'm sitting here. I'm talking to you from my home phone number.
Beautiful, John. And how you coping, my friend?
Well, mate, it's just that, you know, I work for myself. I own my own graders and dozers, and you know, for 23 years.
Mm.
And I worked on the Copperlode Dam for from the time it started to the time it finished. I worked around Cairns a fair bit of my life.
Okay.
And I worked for Scott Coppin. He's one of the biggest earth moving in Cairns.
So you a plant operator, are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm a final trim operator. I own my own thing. Scott Coppin gave me one of the best references anyone could ever get.
Lovely, fantastic. How are you coping in these times? Is the coronavirus affecting your workplace, your industry?
No, mate, no. You know, I think as long as you wash your hands and keep everything clean and everything and that, and as long as you don't shake hands with anyone and keep away from people, I think you'll do all right, eh?
Sure. So I think people are panicking, you would say, would be the case, yes?
I think they're panicking too much, mate.
So we need to just calm down a bit and use Hayes.
I think people have got to take a step backwards, mate, because I think what the government should have done is stopped all this travel right from the start. But it's too late now, you know. You can have a mob of cattle in the yard, and once you open the gate, it's finished.
Yeah, exactly. But the horse has already bolted, so to speak. So,
That's right.
And now we've closed the borders. We just need to work with what's happening at the moment. But if everyone, like you said, just keep clean, keep their distance, and and carry on with life, so to speak. Yep.
Well, mate, it's going to break Australia, this.
Exactly. And
absolutely
unforeseen circumstances, we don't know how we're going to be operating. I mean, they're talking 6 months, but it could be 12 months. And look, it could sink the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right, mate, yeah.
Okay, John.
No, what I'd really like to say on air, if you don't mind.
Yeah, John, go ahead.
All I want to say is that, you know, my name's John Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I own business, earth moving business, for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself Outback Greater Hire, R&L Cal Greater Hire.
Yep.
I worked on the Copper Lode Dam for many, many years, from the time it started to time it finished.
Mm-hmm.
I work for Pacific Earth Moving in Cairns, one of the biggest earth moving going. We filled in every swamp that you could name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very good friend of Jason Weber. He's running for Division 4.
Yes.
I rang Mr. Menning, Bob Menning, probably 10 times. But
the mayor of Cairns, yep.
I rang him 10 times. He won't answer me. And it's not hard to fix, mate, because I got flooded here in Haywood Street going back 15 years ago.
So, John, that's your concern. You've got flooded area is why you're trying to ring the mayor of Cairns. Is that right?
Well, there's flooded areas, mate, and it's not hard to fix.
Okay.
But the thing is with it, I don't honestly know. All the engineers they got today, like, you know, I got photos there where I was going to run for the Common Sense team.
Common Sense team, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, my cancer come back.
Okay, mate.
And I had to take a step back.
Sure, yeah, health first.
Yeah. But, you know, like...
But the problem still lies, is what you're saying.
Beg your pardon?
The problem still lies. We still have the
mate,
problem.
The thing is with it, it's not hard to fix this problem. And I don't think they know how to fix this problem. But there's a young fella named He turned around and he said to me, Kel, he said, what do you think about it? And I said, mate, they've got to put flaps on their pipes. So he got on a pipe in the drain and said how hard it is to put a flap on a pipe.
Yes.
And this will stop 83% of our flooding in Cairns.
So you're talking about something fundamental, you could say.
Well, mate, it's only common sense, eh?
Okay, rightio.
What I want to say is the tension basin up here, they built that. But what they didn't do, they should have took it down to the creek level, and then it could rain for 3 months, and then once the rain stopped, we can let the water go.
Yep.
And that'll take the pressure off the whole of Cairns. And it... People, like four or five other people, have got to leave the room because they can't vote on it.
Conflict.
Anything.
What, yeah. Conflict? Yeah.
And it's wrong, mate. Not that I hate anyone in the council. It's about time somebody stood up and been honest.
You're talking about so the people are there not not doing the job.
Mate, you know, like the thing is all you've got to do is common sense, eh? You know?
All right, John. Well, thank you very much for your call, my friend, and look, all the best to you and you stay safe, eh? Yep.
And I'm going to say that what I said to you.
Okay, John, thank you very much. You take care, mate.
And lovely talking to you, mate.
You bye too, my friend. Bye-bye. That's John, a regular caller, a local man here in Cairns. We're talking about calming down his message there regarding the coronavirus, but also talking about some local stuff going on in his area. And we've got the state election happening here in the state of Queensland. And he's getting the message across the airways as well regarding his space and what needs to be done regarding flooding in the area. Try to contact the Mayor of Cairns, Mr. Bob Manning, and to no avail. And he's just putting it out using this tool, this vehicle, National Talkback, to have that yarn. But you can have your say. Give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via news, National Digital Radio Service. Now, urgent action need to protect remote communities and how vulnerable Indigenous Australians are. What can we do? And because of this climate that we're operating in at the moment with the coronavirus, our people, especially elders, are very vulnerable in this situation. We're going to catch up a yarn with Senator Nita Green on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm very well, thank you. And I usually would be having this interview with you in your studio there.
Face to face, exactly. Exactly.
Unfortunately, we're not doing that today, but that's a very, there's a very good reason why we're not face to face.
Oh, good. Thank you very much, Senator. Where are you calling and where are you based, Senator?
So I live in Cairns. My office is very close to your studio. And today I'm actually basing myself at home, and I'm working from home here today in Cairns.
Sure.
And one of the reasons I'm healthy, there's nothing, no reason for me to be isolating other than I am intending on travelling to Canberra to pass the laws that need to be passed to protect the Australian people.
Yes.
I'll be doing that on Sunday and Monday, and I just want to make sure that if I'm travelling around, you know, keeping myself fit and healthy.
Yes.
Nice and safe, because I was elected to do a job and I'm planning on doing that in Canberra.
Good, that's fantastic. And look, one of the most important spaces, especially for us as First Nation people, is our remote communities, especially our elders and the Indigenous Australians, and the situation they're in. Urgent action need to be put in place to protect our remote communities is your statement. And here, second that notion. So tell us your thoughts there in this space.
I've been on the phone to several mayors over the last couple of days. I know that they are incredibly busy trying to get their head around how they're going to prepare their community in dealing with the coronavirus outbreak. And what we know is that a number of the communities and the councils have decided to take necessary steps to restrict access to their community. So there's a very long list, and I'm sure you'll share that with your listeners.
Yes.
I know just off the top of my head, Aracoon, Lockhart, we've got the Torres Shire Council, Torres Strait Islander Council, and some other councils have made decisions over the past couple of days to essentially say, if you're going to travel to our community, you need to prove to us that you haven't been overseas or put yourself into a situation where you might be bringing the virus into the community.
Mm.
That's a very sensible measure, and my message to people has been, please respect the wishes of those communities. Please
exactly.
Make sure that if you are planning on travelling to see family, and we know there are times where, you know, you desperately want to see a family member and you desperately want to be around people, but right now we really need to consider the health of those communities.
So in a way, when we're talking remote communities, in a way, that could be a good thing with the COVID-19 here upon us, you know, because they are remote. If we just stop visitors as such, they could be protected, yes?
Well, we want to do everything we can to protect them. We don't know everything that we need to know about this virus just yet and how it gets passed from person to person. We've got a lot of information that says most of the cases in Australia have come from people travelling from overseas.
Yes.
So the government's taken necessary measures to stop the spread of the virus in that way. But I think, conversely, if there was to be an outbreak in a remote community, it would be devastating. We know that there are chronic health issues, overcrowding in housing. I mean, how can you self-isolate yourself when you've got...
Well, exactly, and that's another problem that we've had before COVID-19 come along. We've had overcrowding in our housing and that presents a further risk factor as such, yes.
I know, and that's something I really worked hard on last year to try to get the flow of the money that was announced by the government to start happening and get out to communities. And unfortunately, this has all come along while the councils and the members of those remote communities were taking steps to build new houses and get that infrastructure underway. But at the moment, that's one of the reasons why we do not want this outbreak to happen in a place where we already know we've got a lot of families living together. We've got a lot of people who need healthcare just for, you know, chronic illness issues and dialysis and things like that. So we don't want people to be put in a situation that endangers their health in any way.
Exactly. So it's very important that, I remember, well, just last week I was speaking to the mayor of Lockhart River, Wayne Butcher, and he's even talked about, well, closing out the visitors coming to his community. But he's also asking for the families to take the elders to outer stations from the community there again. So he's doing his bit there, and we need to operate in a safe space.
I think all the mayors are doing a fantastic job, and it's come at a really hard time, and they should really be out there campaigning for their re-election and,
well, exactly,
and talking to people about what they're going to do, but they know they've got a job to do. I've been on the phone to Vonda Malone from TI and a few other of the mayors, and look, they're doing everything that they can to protect their community. The problem at the moment is that the communities have made decisions about restricting non-essential travel, but what we actually probably need is a wider government decision about avoiding people from travelling into remote and regional areas. And that's
one thing you're going to be pushing at the Senate?
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Labor's asked for that to happen. Linda Burney, who is our one of our shadow ministers, released some information today, and essentially she's asking for some really simple, constructive things. Not anything. We're not attacking the government. We know they're working hard, but we are just saying, look, there's some practical things that maybe if you haven't been around a remote community before, you don't understand the implications.
Yes.
So we've asked for the government to restrict non-essential travellers. We've asked for essentially a stock take of food and water supplies, and whether those communities have enough to go around if they do need to lock down, and to make sure that the health facilities have enough PPE. So do they have enough masks? Do they have enough gloves?
Toilet paper.
Yes.
Exactly.
But all of the things that you need to keep a hygienic workplace and a hygienic home, they are going to be very important in the coming weeks and months. So we've asked for that action to happen, and hopefully it will very shortly.
And it's right that you're saying that it's not an attack on the government. They're working in uncharted waters as well. But when we're talking about the path ahead, the road ahead, we're talking about potholes that they may have missed, is what we're saying.
Yeah, look, we want to take the politics out of this situation.
Exactly.
And this is not a time where anyone in the community wants to see any side of politics taking cheap shots This is about working together, and that's why I wrote to Warren Entsch a few days ago to explain that I'm here to help and to work in a bipartisan way, and hopefully we'll be able to share information and do what's best for the region of Far North Queensland. But I think, you know, it is our job to call for things that we think are being missed. There's no reason why we shouldn't be putting those ideas forward. The government can accept those ideas, and there's been a lot of things that we've suggested that they have taken on board.
Yes.
But we don't want to be in a situation where we didn't say anything. I mean, we can't do enough. I mean, we're not going to look back at the end of this and say, oh, we wish we didn't take that action. What will happen is we'll look back on this time and say, we wish we had done more.
Yes.
So the more that we can do, the better.
Yes.
And making it clear, I have a general view that the sometimes our remote communities and our Indigenous community particularly does get left out of these bigger conversations.
Exactly.
And Labor's just very clearly trying to make sure that that doesn't happen.
All right, fantastic. And I'd like to mention that what you mentioned regarding the mayors, they're doing a fantastic job. And this is the time, especially here in Queensland, for election coming up. But their action is their campaign, you could say.
Yeah, it's difficult. They're not out there kind of campaigning to be re-elected, but they're doing their job.
Which is their campaign. They're doing the job, yes.
Which is why people put their faith in them in the first place. And look, there's always, in local politics, there's always reasons why people support different candidates.
Sure.
But I'd have to say that generally right now, not only are the mayors working with their local communities, but they're working together as a whole. So they're
exactly.
all meeting under the ticker umbrella and working really hard to have a unified position on access and on what healthcare requirements are needed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
my office, for the most part, what we're doing is trying to iron out any little sort of spot fires or issues that are coming up. We've been on the phone and over the email for the past couple of days to Yarrabah.
Yes.
Because they have a bit of a different situation. They live very close to Cairns, and the flow of people is a lot higher than maybe other places in the Cape. So we're trying to work with them to make sure that they have all of the necessary requirements. And we're also going to write to the health minister today and ask whether a fever clinic can possibly be located in Yarrabah as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's great to have a member of the parliament voicing our concerns as in First Nation people, and so we don't get forgotten, especially our remote communities. Thank you very much, Senator Anita Green, for coming to the program. All the best to you.
You
stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, we will stay safe and take care of each other. We know we've got a long way to go. Please don't be complacent. If you're feeling sick, get some advice from a doctor.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Senator. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
A beautiful yarn there. Senator Anita Green, urgent action to protect remote communities and how vulnerable Indigenous Australians are and what we can do. So there's the spokesperson for First Nation people in this space, and it's great to have a member of the Member of Parliament talking for our First Nation people, especially our elders, especially our remote communities. Have your say, you mob, yarn up strong. We're about 15 minutes left on the program here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. Otherwise, check out our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And we've got all our shots there, photos and yarns, and also podcasts as well. So do enjoy, stay tuned, BBM987FM.
Chocolates, roses, kisses, zits to hide. To copulate, most males have to bribe. Warm fuzzies, gentle care. Expensive cars, pubic hair. Parties, alcohol, domestic fights and incest. adolescent, hot, fast, messy sex on the south side, on the dark side. South of the freeway, those Logan kids used to hang out at that Rooster and Ribs. Fast food, junk food, foul food, chunder. McDonald's, Kentucky, rail line thunder. Tavern drive-in, you buy the piss. Grub we flog, they'll never miss. Poor behind square one, it's hard to start. We'll take a five-finger discount from the rich Kmart. On the south side, on the dark side. South of the freeway, those Logan kids used to hang out at that trashed out Rooster and Ribs. Fish smell, cabana, burnt out shell. Rooster and Ribs is a scene from hell. Broken plaster, fibro, power cords. Hanging down from the burnout boards. Dope and drugs keep you stable. While couples screw on the table. On the south side, on the dark side. South of the freeway, those Logan kids used to hang out at that trashed out Rooster and Ribs. Most nights you screw or fight. Girlfriends, boyfriends, use the night. Hide their reality from society. The only place we'll feel free. Moan, smash glass, trashed out spew. Same shit old smell, ratchet view. On the south side, on the dark side. South of the freeway, those Logan kids used to hang out at that trashed out Rooster and Ribs. Graffiti, neon, cut the night. There's a blue light flashing and a red hot spotlight. Siren wailing, squealing tires. It's time to change in an overdrive. They got batons, handcuffs, and they're carrying guns. The cops have arrived, it's time to run. The south side, the dark side. South of the freeway, those Logan kids used to hang out at that trashed out Rooster and Ribs. On the south side. South of the freeway, those Logan kids still hanging out at that trashed out Rooster and Ribs.
Thank you. ani garemin yangi ani lugula ngi ani gimubila gamalu ngi ani ziria
Tambo, you're the voice, too deadly in language. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call, by which way you may have to do that tomorrow. Murray about to sign off here very soon with the National Talk Black program, an hour program that is. But we have 24-7 text 045-714-0550. Otherwise, our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. The National Talkback program, yes, sir, housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. An hour program go across the nation thanks to NERS. And the Murray radio station is BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And so what's happening regarding the sports news, the AFL are opening up their season tonight. The show must go on, even if no fans can be at games for the foreseeable future. And with the AFL confirming late on Wednesday night that round one would proceed, it means Richmond and Carlton will do battle in the season opener like no other. And all the news there for the AFL, but also with the rugby league going around the round two, and round two is happening with no fans as well. And look, sports is entertainment, and for what's happening in this climate, in the space, they've looking after no players have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. So until that time, it may happen, may not, and we can still have entertainment as such. But of course, if one player picks up, they're looking at closing down the game, and that's the end of the season as we know it. But look, have you say yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416, that would have to be tomorrow, your mob, but text us all the way through. Ears for you, for your daily program, National Talk About Voice for Our People. But stay safe, your mob, look after each other. 1.5 metres is the distance from each other. If you're not out and about, and you don't need to be out and about, then stay home, stay in your village, stay in your community, stay in your suburb, so to speak, and keep everything all clean. Wash your hands constantly. Don't touch your face. And take up all your vitamins while you can or need. Eat all good. Keep away from the fatty foods. And keep exercising as well. Keep mobile. Walk the dog 1.5 meters away from other people while you're walking the dog. And just do the foot tap thing. That's what most people are doing at the moment. Not even doing the pound. They're just doing the foot tap. And that's a good thing. Do what you need to do. Keep safe, your mob. Murray, going to sign off. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll be yarning soon on National Talk Black, voice for our people. And hear it all from us here at the First Nation Radio Station. And all our First Nation radio stations around the country still got their lights on, so to speak, and delivering the messages, important messages, in this yucky climate that we're in at the moment. Otherwise, keep a smile on your dial and do what you need to do to keep safe. Too deadly.
Most high.